Sure, glad you got that mic on. As I was beginning to think we might back down and because of my voice. But thank God that it's on and working well. Good evening. Good to see each one out. Trust that you've already been blessed as those prayers have ascended to God on high. I would like to thank the brethren for their prayers on behalf of myself tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. Matthew 21, a well-known story, the parable of the two sons. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to break in there at verse 28. Matthew 21, 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of the Father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. I'm sure God will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. If I was to put a title on the message tonight, it would be Laborers Needed. You know, we just have to look around us and realize that the words of the Lord are so true when he said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Just a couple of weeks, the first couple of weeks in January, Lucy and myself left the island to go up on Eleuthera to give out some gospel literature, and we had a case of Bibles, and we had some clothing we wanted. We planned to go deep south. We stopped, and we came to North Eleuthera to put some gas in the van, and while the lady was fueling up the van, I said, Ma'am, would you like a Bible? She said, I'd love a Bible. I don't have one. I was shocked. I went to go to the van to get the Bible for the lady, and the gentleman was fueling his car on the other side of me. He stopped fueling the car and came around to where we're getting the Bible. He looked at me and said, Sir, could I have a Bible? I said, Yes, sir. That's what I brought them for. Says, I don't have a Bible. I got back to the van and the lady said, Sir, do you have any more Bibles? I got three ladies in here working. They don't have a Bible. I said, Yes, I got more. And before we left that station, we had given out every Bible. The thing that touched me was this, a gentleman who was fueling the car when I would, and followed me to the van for a Bible, said, Sir, just before you leave, I'd like to say something. Says, I'd just gone through Christmas and no one gave me a Christmas present. And he said it with emotion. Said, Sir, I want to tell you today, no one could have given me a better Christmas present than that Bible you just gave me. I don't have a Bible. I got into the van. I said, Lucy, with the help of the Lord, we'll put 1,000 Bibles on Eleuthera. We have 500. We just carried a couple, but we intend to distribute those Bibles with a tract, and with each person we intend to give them the way of salvation. Pray for us as we do that. I said that because that's what the message is about tonight. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. We want to look at those seven little words tonight. Son, go, work today in my vineyard. You know, the little sentence is full of teaching. Each word suggests a message. That's a lesson in it. First, the word son. You notice he doesn't say slave, go work. Because a slave works. Because He's liable to pains and penalties if he doesn't do his duty. But no, he doesn't ask a slave to work. You notice he doesn't even ask a servant to work. Because a servant works because he's paid. No, he didn't say servant. He says son. And you know, a son works because it's a privilege and a pleasure. Son. My child. An affectionate term, isn't it? You might say, well, Brother Freddie, how did we really become sons? Or it might be someone here tonight without Christ and said, how could I become a son? The Lord makes it quite clear, doesn't he, in John 1:12. As many as receive me, to them he give the right to become the sons of God. And there we see men's action is just to receive and to believe. And we see God's action is to make them sons of God. If you turn over to Galatians, you need not turn there. Chapter 4 and 4 to 7, I'll read it to you. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. Then hear of God through Christ. Listen, beloved, tonight. God sent forth his son that we might be made sons of his. That should bless our hearts tonight and cause us to go home rejoicing. God gave his son that we might become sons of his, and he gave his spirit of his son, commissioned as his sons, to dwell in our hearts. No wonder John picks it up in 1 John 3 in his epistle, verse 1, and says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I tell you tonight, I don't know anything more could throw me tonight to know that I'm a child of God. By a wonderful exchange, our sins became Christ, and Christ's righteousness became ours. What an exchange tonight. We have sonship because of that tonight. Heirship, kingship, fellowship. I tell you tonight, it should be an honor. It should be a privilege tonight and a pleasure to work in his vineyard. I don't know if it was Michelangelo, that great artist, but one of those great artists who had that painting of Christ on the cross. And down at the bottom of the cross was these words. All this I have done for thee. What hast thou done for me? I ask myself tonight. I trust that you'll ask yourself, what have we done for him, one who has done so much for us? The next word is go. Son, go. You have to take note who gives that command. It's none other than the Master. None other than the Lord. I'll tell you, he's got the authority to do it, isn't he? And you know, it's imperative. We should not avoid it. And it's urgent. We should go. And the word urgent means prompt attention. Pressing. And it is pressing tonight that we go. And it doesn't mean that we leave the island or we come here. As we'll see further on, God lays upon each heart what to do, where to go. I trust we'll listen and obey. To whom is the command given? We said it already, to sons. To me and to you tonight. Every son of God is a missionary. In our little area, in our different ways, we're missionaries. My mind goes back to Moses in Exodus chapter 4. And Moses sees the burning bush, turns aside to see what it is. And there God speaks to Moses and tells him what he wants him to do, to go down and deliver his people from the mighty hand of Pharaoh. And he says now, therefore, go, I will be with thy mouth and teach you what thou shalt say. But you know, Moses didn't accept that. And sometimes I find we exactly like that. A God who has all the power, who has all the authority, says, I'll be with your mouth. Now go, I'll tell you what to say. You know what Moses' excuse was? I'm not eloquent. Lord, I'm not a man of words. He just told him he'd be with his mouth. You know, so often we just like that. That was Moses' excuse. Christian, I ask myself, as I hope you'll ask yourself tonight, what is your excuse? Why you're not serving him where he's called you? You gotta answer that. I have to answer that tonight. What's our excuse why we're not doing what he's asked us to do? Moses couldn't think about addressing the royal court. He didn't think he could ever be able to do that. So he says, Lord, give me someone else. You see, Moses should have obeyed. Moses should have simply depended upon God, what God had said, but he didn't. And then Moses says, send someone else. And he asked, and God gives him Aaron, second best. He thought it was best. Moses thought it was best, but you know, later on, Aaron didn't prove that way. Aaron led God's people into idol worship. How often we get God's second best? Because we just question God. He says, Moses, go. We come over to the New Testament. And we have the Lord telling his disciples, go tell John. John is discouraged. And God, it tells me that God cares about one individual. He says, my servant John is discouraged. Go tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Go tell him. Go encourage him. Saints, I don't know tonight. Maybe God's calling you and telling you, go to that home. Go to that one. They need encouragement. Oh, they might need something else. But go. But are we going? Or do we want to do our own thing? Then we see the progression. Then later on the Lord says, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He then limits it just to the lost sheep. And then later he sends the 70 disciples and he says, go into every city and every place whither I shall come. And he says those 70 disciples went out. And they obeyed. And the thing that touched me says they came back with great joy. Christian, let me tell you tonight. It's joy in serving Jesus. It's joy in serving Jesus. I've proved it in the little bit that I've done. No joy like it. The Lord's calling you. Don't turn him away. Obey the call. Obey the call. And the 70 return with joy. First, the Lord instructs them to pray for laborers, he says. The harvest is great, he says. Pray ye that the Lord will send laborers into the vineyard. I trust that will be our prayer tonight. It's so many out there, right in our little Bahamas, right on Eleuther. I feel the Lord is, that is the mission field the Lord has called us to. When I went through the crisis with the cancer and the treatments, the Lord laid in my heart current, and I couldn't get it out. They need some help. And I believe that's where the Lord wants most of my ministry, on Eleuther. I felt more sure when we went that day up on that mission. Many up there need the Lord. Need the Lord. Need to have their sins forgiven. He says, go. Pray, he says, pray that the Lord will send laborers into the vineyard. And look how it progresses. One person, John, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and then to every city and every place and around Jerusalem. And then in Matthew 28:19, he says, go ye therefore into all the world. Go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The commission contains three commands, not suggestions. They commands, because he says, go first. Make disciples. You make disciples by preaching, don't we? And the disciples were to see others become learners and followers of the Savior from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Go to all nations. And then he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The responsibility is ours, Christians, to tell them. You know, Charmaine called me on Saturday, I think it was, and she said, you know, Brother Bernard's here, says, and what we're enjoying, he's on the baptism and on the Lord's Supper. He says, we haven't heard it for so long. He says, it's so good. You know, I think we need to emphasize it more. How important it is, if you're a believer, to be baptized and then to come into the fellowship. And then thirdly, it says, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. You see, the commission goes beyond evangelism, doesn't it? It's not just enough to make converts, and I think that's very, very important. I don't take anything away from that tonight. But they must be taught to obey the commandments of Christ as found in the New Testament. And the Savior added, in all this, he says, I'll be with you. What a comfort to know that as we go to take forth this word, to take the gospel, he says, I am with you. Always. It's four alls in that commission. You have to notice them. He says, all authority, all nations, all things, and I am with you always. What a great comfort. But Christians tonight, saints, 20 centuries later, his words have the same convincing power, the same relevance, the same application, but the task is uncompleted. What are we doing tonight to carry out his last command? The next word is work. And let me say this. It's not just work as we might think of it sometimes. Let me suggest that study is work. I've been in both sides of the fence. I've worked and coming up 12, 14 hour days, 6 days a week. And in the last 6 years, doing a little bit of study, I felt more drained. And I think Brother Frank can answer that as well. I felt more drained from study than I have been from the hard work. Study is work, but how rewarding it is. You get one truth from God's word and you feel like you're next to heaven. May I encourage you to study? That's work. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You see, a workman here is one who's handling the word of God and thus studying it. That's work. I'll tell you, it takes diligent study of the Word of God to rightly divide it. You put on the TV sometimes and you listen and you see such a mess that some people are making of the Word of God. All of God's Word is true. You cannot add to it. You cannot take away from it. Let me suggest again that praying is work. You see, God maybe called you to pray. Maybe lots of people I know here tonight prayed for me. We go away sometimes. I come back and we meet people. Said, Brother Freddie, I prayed for you. How did it go? I said, without you praying, it wouldn't have gone. But with your prayer, God has used this mightily. And I often think that the person who prays will be far more reward than I'll ever get for being behind this podium. Prayer. The psalmist says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. I'm not just talking about just praying for 2 minutes, but getting down between with you and God and for praying for maybe hours. I fail in this, saints. I fail, and I ask God today to help me to pray more. Oh, I need it. Daniel was a man of prayer. He knew what it meant to pray 3 times a day. The Lord Jesus knew. He says in Luke 6 and 12, he went up on the mountain to pray and continued all night there. And he says many times he prayed on many different occasions in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, how he prayed. Even on the cross, he prayed. He knew the importance of prayer. And the Lord said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. In Acts 4:31, that verse always touches me. So when they prayed, the place was shaken, and they spake the word of God with boldness. First century church was a persecuted church. It was a powerful church, but I could tell you it was a praying church. So evident that the Spirit of God shook the place as they prayed. John 9:4, speaking of work, the Lord Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. What a solemn reminder to all of us tonight. The time is coming, and it's short, and it's coming that we will not one day be able to work, maybe because of our health, maybe because the Lord might take us home. Or maybe the Lord might return. The time is coming, and the Lord reminded us when we will not be able to work. Only one life. 'Twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. 1 Corinthians 3:13 says this. I'm going to read a few verses. Listen. We read 13 through 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Solemn words. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss. Every man's work shall be made manifest. You know, Paul is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And the fire he is talking about is the righteous judgment of God, which is a consuming power. When we stand before him that day, everything that was not done for him will be burned. Will be burned. Everything that we strove to get all of our life will be worthless at that moment. And we'll realize, what did I waste my time for? It's only what I've done for God. And we'll realize at that moment how foolish we were, but it'd be too late. Says he pays, will receive a reward. I'm amazed that God would pay wages. Because we don't deserve anything, but it's a gift of grace, isn't it? Paul says then, if that be the case, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. First recorded words of the Lord Jesus were these, wish ye not I must be about my Father's business. The last recorded words of the Lord Jesus was, it is finished. Oh, I trust that will be our motto. She came across this little poem on Sunday. Says this, to speak just a word, even to him be true. Speak just a word. Tell what he has done for you. I trust that will be our motto as well. The next word is today. And that's the Holy Spirit's word. Today is the day of privilege, saints. Today is the day of privilege. The psalmist says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And we often use that for the unsaved. If one here tonight without Christ, I challenge you again and warn you, don't harden your heart. Trust him tonight. But I want to apply that to the Christian tonight. If you hear him speaking and telling you to go and work today in his vineyard, I trust that you will not harden your heart. I trust that you will listen and obey him tonight. Today is a day of privilege because it's a day of grace. But also today is a day of opportunity, saints. Today is a day of opportunity. You have to look at the Lord Jesus on the cross. He took every opportunity. When that thief said, Lord, remember me, says today. He didn't say, well, don't you see what I'm suffering? I can't handle that now, no. He says today. The Lord Jesus took every opportunity. Remember Nicodemus came at night? The Lord could have easily said, don't you know, Nicodemus, I've been praying all night. I've had the crowd all day, Nicodemus. Don't you know, Nicodemus, you'll have to come back tomorrow. I can't handle that now. He didn't say that. He didn't turn the rich ruler away. He didn't turn the lawyer away. He never turned anyone away. Today is the day of opportunity. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. And I want to apply it to the Christian. Christian, you might be saying, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when I get out of school. I'll do it when we get raise children. I'll do it later. Friends, it's today. You might not be here tomorrow. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. James says, go to now. Listen, James says, what is your life? It's only a vapor. Only for a moment, and then vanisheth away. Today is a day of opportunity. Behold, now is the accepted time. And I want to apply it again to the believer. Christian, now is the time to work. Today. Today is the day of privilege. Today is the day of opportunity. But today is the day of responsibility. God will hold us accountable if we fail to do what he's called us to do. When we stand before him that day, he'll hold us responsible. He says, so then every one of us will give an account of himself to God. We'll have to give an account of our life. Individually, one on one, when we stand before him. I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist who said, oh, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Christian, each day is a gift from God. To misuse it, it is a terrible thing to misuse it. A terrible mistake to misuse it. It can never, never bring it back again. You know, I think when we get a true estimate of our days, it's then we'll apply our hearts to wisdom. I think that's when we'll do it. Finally, as we bring the message to a close, my vineyard, it might be overgrown with weeds tonight, but it's his vineyard. Song of Solomon 6:1 says this, they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. The vineyard that the Lord has given you to keep, have you kept it? Have you kept it? Are you taking good care of his vineyard tonight, I ask? Or are you neglecting his vineyard? Are you allowing the weeds of false doctrine to come in? Are you allowing compromise to come in just maybe to get a few numbers? Thank God I could say tonight for this assembly and for the leadership here, I don't see that. Thank God for people who stand today. We look around, they'll have to look far, and we see compromise. Actually, we see sometimes false doctrine. I'll say, brethren, I encourage you to keep it up. Never, ever let those weeds of compromise come in. It might be overgrown with weeds, but it's its vineyard. Secondly, it may be small, but he says it's my vineyard. Isn't that what Jeremiah 12:10 says? Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. And how sad when we look even in some of the assemblies in the Bahamas, what some of the pastors are doing. It is sad. Oh, I would to God we'd have more Jeremiahs. More Christians who in the midst of opposition will stand true to the Bible. True to the Word of God. Patient in the proclamation of the gospel. Protective in the care of the sheep. And be burdened for lost souls of men and women. It may be small, but it still is God. Finally, as we close, it may be unnoticed and unknown, but it's my vineyard, he says. Matthew 21:40 says this. The Lord is speaking. When the Lord of the vineyard cometh, what shall he do unto those husbandmen who have not taken care of his vineyard? They say unto him, he will let it out, his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him their fruits in the season. Oh, I pray tonight that when he comes, he will find fruit. And he will have to lend it out to anyone else. I trust when we stand before him that day, we'll hear those words. Well done. Good. And faithful servant. I trust we'll be able to say like Paul, when we come to the end, I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Trust we'll all say to the hymn writer, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. I might have used this poem in another message sometime, and I tried to find something else today, and I just could not get this poem out of my mind. It's been with me all day. And it says, service unmeasured. I think it goes with the message. Let me just read just two short verses. And it's got volumes. How far in service must I go? I'm going to ask a lot of questions. You answer. What sacrifices bring to God whose loving hands bestow each good and perfect thing? How much of time and thought should I devote to him who died? How much? What is my debt to him and why? And how may I decide? Oh, this next verse touches me. A measured service bound would be. A service mean and small. He did not ask. How much from me? He gave himself. His all. He did not ask how far to go up that road to Calvary. How far was not to say. How far? I only know that he went all the way. May God help us tonight to be willing to go all the way for him. Let us pray. Father, when we consider your love in giving your son, Lord, when we consider that you didn't turn back, that you went all the way for us, How could we do less for you tonight than go all the way to you? Oh, God, we pray that you'll give us the strength to go and go today and take care of your wind. Father, with your blessing, as we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to just sing that chorus for me. Maybe Brother Russ could raise it. I will serve him.
I will serve thee.
Because
I love.